All right, everyone, look at me. I'm the center of attention, and I'm a show-off. It's true. I mean, it really is. I do admit it. There is something wired into me that likes to be noticed. To which the congregation says, duh. There is something wired into me that loves to be in front of a crowd. And go ahead. There is something wired into me that likes to hear myself speak. And sure, I don't walk around town begging people to notice me. At least I don't think so. Nor do I try to be the one who gets all the honor at the community dinners. I don't care if people use a proper title when they're talking to me or about me. But I have to admit it, I like to be the center of attention. Matters like I like wearing this pastor's robe. What do you think? deflate my bubble there. It's cute. I like the looks of it. I do like the looks of respect. If I'm doing a wedding anywhere, walk in there and say to someone, "Hi, I'm Kirk Moore. I'll be the pastor." They're like, "Oh, okay. Well, here's stuff." Then I put the robe on. They're like, "Oh, well, you can stand over." You know, automatically you put the robe on and people give you respect. And I like that. I know, here the Bible verse just said, bad thing, put on the robe for respect. But I still like that. But I want to tell you a couple of stories that stick in my mind when it comes to wearing the robe. I spent time as a chaplain at Bensonville Home in Bensonville, Illinois. And most of the time I cared for folks who had Alzheimer's disease or other forms of dementia. So I would go in there and I would play music. And a lot of times when I'd play music, people's eyes would light up. And if I sang, "If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands," they would clap their hands. And even sometimes, after I had sung songs for a while, "Take Me Out to the Ball Game" or "Old Rugged Cross," whatever it was, there was a moment of something. I don't know how long the moment would last, but something where the lights were on and I could have a conversation that lasted a real short time. It's like something got through with the music and there was a little bit of coherence, or whatever the word, the lights were on just for a little bit of time. When I'd come there and wear the pastor's robe, I got a similar response. I'd walk in there, and I wasn't ordained yet, but one person gave me a robe because I was going to serve communion to them. And I walked in there, had the robe on, and immediately, didn't matter what the people were doing at that point, they would look at the robe and they'd say, "Thank you, Father," and they would be ready for the communion. It's just the robe had a positive memory for them, a strong memory that disease hadn't taken away. That's one story. Then there's another story about my youngest, Andrew. When he was about 4 years old, he told me he wanted to be a pastor. And I was flattered, and I said to him, "Andrew, you can be anything that you want." And I didn't try to discourage him from being a pastor, at least not yet. You know, talk to pastors and say their kids say at 20 they want to be a pastor, and I go, no, you don't. Really, really you don't. But I was flattered, and I said he could do anything. And I told him that I liked being a pastor. And in my mind, I thought, wow, he sees how people's lives have been changed by me being a pastor, by the ministry that I am doing. This brilliant child has recognized altruism, and he knows what he wants to do with his life. And then Andrew continued. He goes, when you go up to the guy, the one that you tell what you want to be, and you say that you want to be a pastor, is that when you get the clothes? My burst ego was comforted by my laughter, of course, though, because I'm thinking, he likes the robe. Andrew likes the robe. He likes to see how it looks. It's the robe. People look at the robe and they show it respect, and folks look at it and sometimes they're comforted. A four-year-old child looked at the robe and thought it was pretty cool. And I think the robe looks cool. Today, I like the contrast of the black robe with the white stole. Why am I wearing the white stole today? Anyone know? No? I mean, it is communion. But it's All Saints Sunday. Yesterday was All Saints Day. And you notice our call to worship and for all the saints for the opening hymn. I'm wearing a contrasting white stole with the black robe. And I like the way it looks. I don't get to wear the the white stole very often. I suppose I could, but not if I'm following the calendar for what you're supposed to wear at the right times. And I know, at least on an intellectual level, that wearing this robe, it's supposed to be a symbol of humility, a symbol of being humble. It's supposed to communicate a sense of reverence to God. When you put on the robe, you become like a servant. And I do wear it because I think folks get a sense of comfort at seeing the pastor in a robe as opposed to formal business attire. There have been a couple times where I didn't wear a robe and, you know, the building didn't cave in or anything like that. But I think that in our church we're used to having the pastor wear robes. And so there's a comfort in that. And also, my mom bought me my robes. And so I have to, she actually bought me all my stoles except for maybe one or two. So I wear the robe and the stoles because my mom likes the robe and the stoles, and I get to tell her that I wear the robe and stoles. And if I didn't wear the robe and stoles, I would have to tell her that I'm not wearing the robe and the stoles. And raise your hand if you ever would want to do that. Guess what, Mom? That cool gift that you got me for my job, I don't use it. No. You know, so there's another reason. I think it looks cool, and my mom told me to wear it, and I know on an intellectual level that it's supposed to be a symbol of humility, and I do believe that it provides some comfort. But wearing the robe, or at least I think how the congregation responds to it, is just a symbol of a powerful memory of something. Maybe it's growing up over the years, and the pastor who you had growing up wore a robe, and so a pastor needs to wear a robe, and that's comforting. Or in an awful time, there was someone in a robe there, or at a wedding, or at a funeral. You know, the pastor wore robes. And so people experience love. People experience a powerful memory. But there's also negative experiences people might have had with robes. Some folks may respond to a robe with disdain, with fear, with anger, with disgust. And their experience was likely folks wearing robes didn't treat them all that kindly, or were too pompous, or were negative, were mean, whatever it is. And I really do, wearing this robe, I try my best to communicate those two commandments. Remember the two commandments from last week and from just about every sermon I've preached since I've been here? What are they? Love God, love your neighbor. And who is your neighbor? Everyone. I hope that when I'm wearing the robe and when I'm not wearing the robe, that I'm communicating those two commandments. They are absolutely, without question, necessary. And I think for me to express that is absolutely, without question, necessary. And I've also said on more than one occasion that I think that my role as pastor is to point folks toward Jesus and then get out of the way. See? But I do like to be the center of attention. And I don't always follow my own advice. You know, point people to Jesus and get out of the way. I say, as I show you a new song on the guitar while I whirl around, I like doing that, and I think that it helps the congregation to get into the groove or whatever that is. But I am a hypocrite. Point toward Jesus and get out of the way, and I'm standing right there in the way sometimes. And I know I don't parade around asking people to bow in my presence, right? I'm always willing to lift heavy things and to do stuff that isn't in the job description. I don't care where I'm seated at official dinners, although I do like this chair. It's a nice chair. Although, I don't have to sit there. I can sit there or back over there. It's just out of convenience, kind of, that I sit there. But if anyone else really wants to sit there on Sunday, okay, who wants to do it next Sunday? You can sit right there. As long as you preach, you know. No, I mean, I don't have to have the great seat. I'm perfectly willing to not have a great seat at dinners. But I recognize still that I am a hypocrite, because in our celebrity-obsessed culture, and really, our celebrity-obsessed culture is nothing new. We've been celebrity obsessed since before I was born, since well before I was born. And so our celebrity obsession, though it may be more bold and it may be more visible because we've got more forms of communication now, it's been around. I like being known by others. I like it when folks say nice things about me. I like it when people that I don't know come up and talk to me because they know me and it makes me feel famous, you know. Hey, Kirk, you know, I'm talking to them and being, and I have no idea who they are. And I'm like, hey, that feels kind of cool. Somebody knows me that that I don't know. And I'm not saying these things to get a, no, you're not a hypocrite, Kirk, kind of a thing. You could say that all you want. And I know that I'm a hypocrite when it comes to these things because I like being famous or I like approaching anything like famous. I'm saying these things, though, because I think we really need to ponder this morning's reading. And I think we need to acknowledge the hypocrisy that's a little bit in all of us. Whatever it is we're hypocritical about. And instead of beating ourselves up about it, I think we need to trust that God can and God does still love us. And God can and God does still get things accomplished through us. I know also that God gets things accomplished in spite of us. But let's focus on the more positive thing. God's going to get it done whether we do it right or not. But I believe that God, in our imperfect state, gets things accomplished through us. We have one God. At the end of the scripture, we find this. One God. A rabbi does not equal God. Father does not equal God. Teacher or instructor does not equal God. God equals God. And God calls us to serve God, and to serve one another. I want to read the last two verses of today's reading from a different translation. It's from Eugene Peterson's The Message. It's a paraphrase. Here's what it says. Do you want to stand out? Then step down. Be a servant. If you puff yourself up, you'll get the wind knocked out of you. But if you're content to simply be yourself, your life will count for plenty. None of us are perfect. We can't leap tall buildings or walk on water. We'll probably fail more than we'll succeed. We're all blessed and loved by God. We're all called to humbly love God and to love each other. And God can and does get things accomplished through every single one of us here today. God can and does get things accomplished even through a pastor who's a show-off. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for the ways that we're wired. Thank you for the challenges. Thank you for the blessings. Help us to be part of a ministry that seeks to follow you and helps others to follow you. Help us to follow you with all that we are, to love you, to love our neighbor. In Jesus' name, amen.